Much thank you for each person that's had a part in the service this evening, and we're thankful to get into the Word of God tonight. And I mentioned this morning we'd have a snack after the service, and so we will, as soon as church is out, I'm going to preach about 15, 20 minutes, and then we'll be heading out, and out on the parking lot right in front, we've got Preacher Lassie. He said, well, Brother Herdman, and he held these, what is it called, Daniel? Nutty Buddies out. He said, Brother Herdman, these are the best snack going. And in case I was taking, you know, lessons or whatever. So he told me that some time ago. And so my kids, we got some and put them on his desk, put a note there for him. And so he loves them. And I think we wore him out this morning. I don't know if he's back tonight. But I told him, I said, well, go home and rest. And he said, I may take you up on that. But we'll have some snacks. I said, we're going to eat them whether he's here or not. So as soon as the service is over, we've got those and milk and right out out on the porch. And we'll have a good time together. Thank you for being in church. It's a joy to get to be here. Listen, folks, we do not know how long we have. I do believe we're on the home stretch. And I believe that some of us, we never know whether we'll go through the rapture or whether we'll go through death. But either way, I do not believe we have much time. And I want to serve the Lord. I want to be in church. And I want to be praising God. And I want to be living right. I want to be serving Him. I want to be praising Him as we were just singing about. And may each and every one of us feel the same way about how good the Lord has been to us. Look in your Bibles, if you would, at 1 Corinthians chapter number 3. I want to preach a message tonight. Maybe on leadership, maybe on whatever, but entitled Laborers Together, because that's one of the texts or one of the phrases in verse number 9 that we'll read. So we're looking at 1 Corinthians chapter number 3, and I am so thankful for all the people who, as Daniel had already said, have made today possible. The folks in the choir practiced long the other night, but then the sound crew, all of them have, and video and all the rest that's gone in. They've just put in a lot of hours getting ready, and it has been an immense amount of work that these folks have put in. And so I'm just so thankful for them because except for just they don't make any money, and they just do it for the love of the Lord. And it is just a joy to watch people serve God. So thank you all of them aren't up there. Some of them are downstairs in a live stream room in different places, but praise the Lord. And we're looking forward to showing you some of these little places when we have the open house. And I want to mention as well, 2 weeks from today on that open house, you'll get to meet the ones of you who haven't. Some of you did at the couples retreat, but you'll get to meet my pastor. He and Milo will come over. And so that is my pastor, and that also is Amy's brother. And so he'll be our special speaker for that day. So he'll preach in the morning here and then the evening, and we will have a good time. I'd like for you to come and meet my pastor. And I'm thankful for every time that somebody comes and says, hey, pastor, what do you think about this? And they ask, and I'm glad to try to give some biblical advice. But everybody needs a pastor, and I have one too. And so you're going to meet him, and I want you to get by and see him and his dear wife. And they are the most precious of precious people to Amy and I. So we're looking forward to you getting to meet them. All right, here we go. 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse number 5. The Bible says, who then is Paul and who is Apollos? We know who Paul is. He's a great apostle, and Apollos his fellow laborer. But ministers by whom you believed, even as the Lord gave to every man. I have planted, Apollos watered, but God gave the increase. So then neither is he that planteth anything, neither he that watereth, but God that giveth the increase. Now he that planteth and he that watereth are one, and every man shall receive his own reward according to his own labor. For we are laborers together with God. Ye are God's husbandry. That just means you're his garden, you're his masterpiece. You're God's husbandry. Ye are God's building. And I want to preach for a little while about that subject, laborers together. Be with us, Father, I pray. Give us these next few moments to help us all see that we've got a place to serve. We've got a God that empowers. And dear Lord, we've got a work to do. I pray that you'd bless us in Jesus' name. Amen. I heard of these two men. They were on a boat together, and one of them caught a wild idea to he was just being mischievous and thought it'd be a dumb thing, but he will start to drill a hole in his side of the boat. And the other guy said, what kind of dummy are you? He said, you can't do that. And he said, no, I'm only drilling it on my side of the boat. How many of you understand? The other side goes down, yours is too. And we are laborers together. meaning that what you do affects me and what I do affects you. If I have a bad day and go off the rails, and then that affects you. And same with you. You have a bad day and go haywire, then it affects me as well. Eventually, if you go back far enough off the rails, they call me from the police station and say, one of your church members is down here. And I guess vice versa. They call and say, hey, your one pastor is down here. So we affect one another. But we get this wonderful lesson here about the workers in God's harvest. Because the Apostle Paul, there's none that are more well-known than him. He's the great apostle. He's the one that God used. God used him to literally pen much of the New Testament as the holy men of God spake as they were moved. We understand that he's a wonderful servant of the Lord, and he's used of God to lead many to Christ and then to lead great leaders that go on and pastor and build churches. And the Apostle Paul, he is in the who's who of Christian faith. Yet in the verse that he says here, that we read here earlier, it says, who is Paul and who's Apollos? And except they're ministers by whom you believe. And so the Bible makes little difference between you and I and somebody else as far as, wow, who gets the most credit about that? And if Preacher Lassie were here this evening, he'd be the first one to tell you we've honored him. We want to honor him anyway by naming the auditorium after him, and we see the work that he's done, and we give great honor to that, because the Bible says give honor to whom honor's due. But truly, whether it was him, some other preacher, there was another Preacher Lassie, I think he wanted Brother Sherfie to come here because that made Preacher Lassie the young preacher on the platform, because Preacher Sherfie's older than he is. And but whether it was one or whether it was the other, or whether it was somebody that's gone on to glory, or whether it's one that nobody's ever heard of, as the Apostle Paul said, who is Paul and who's Apollos except ministers by whom you believe? And I say that not to belittle anybody. I say that to remind us that it's God that does the work. And I do not believe that we're unbiblical at all when we elevate somebody and say we're honoring somebody for what they've done, as long as we remember there's no man, me or anybody else, that deserves to be held to that high level, because you understand that all the work that gets done, if God doesn't get in it, it's not worth anything. So we see here that God puts little difference between the one that you and I, as far as who gets the credit. We instead just realize that God does the work. It happens to be that all of us like to brag. I know that's a shock for some of us. One preacher said, he was starting these preachers' meetings. Sometimes they get talking about, you know, what they've done, and they started doing this. And, you know, when COVID was releasing the grips to some degree, preachers would say, oh, well, we started doing this, and we were able to do this, and we were able to do this. I heard these one preacher that said, we're running about 500, and the other guys around said, oh, wow, that's right. Oh, it's right. And then somebody's with him said, I didn't realize that. He said, no, we're running about 500. We only catch about 100 of them, but we're running a lot of people. And so it's all in how you say it. Just as we were coming in, Larry Trent, trying to lead me down the wrong road, said, I think we had a little less than 1,000. I said, yes, we had less than 1,000 today. And you understand there's creative ways to say whatever you want. Preachers would say, well, we had a goal of, and then you know good and well you didn't get that. We had a goal of 1,200 people. We hit somewhere below that goal, but boy, did we have a good day. What's that mean? That meant they had 300. And it was 300 is below 1,200, but it's all in presentation. You understand that there is this desire in us to be held up. One preacher in our town, this is a true story. The others may not have been, but this is a true story. This church was just running as far as what you'd hear around town. I grew up in a little town, and what you heard around town, they were just growing by leaps and bounds, by phenomenal. And then finally it came out because the pastor had mentioned to the people, he said, well, the biggest church growth we've had, we started adding the Sunday school number to the worship hour number. So we had 300 in Sunday school and 350 in worship hour, so we automatically had 650. That's pretty good church attendance campaign. Except the bulk of those were the same ones that had been in both of the services. One guy heard put mirrors on the back wall of the church. That way just made it look so much bigger back there. We've doubled our attendance. But I'm just getting to the point that we have a tendency to brag on the laborer. The great error in that is, there's no laborers that are worth bragging about. Now, you know that we spent time even this evening bragging, thanking people for the great amount of work that they put in. And we will continue to do that. I believe that's correct. But when it really comes down to the end of it, nobody deserves any bragging except Jesus. Because when somebody says, oh, they volunteered and they spent hours and scores of hours getting a certain project ready, when we compare that to what the Lord did, that seems as nothing. But then when we realize that even those hours that were given were nothing if the Lord, the sweet Holy Spirit of God, didn't show up and work and bless in the service. So I want you to see a couple things as we get into the message. Number one, I see the insufficiency of the laborer. Look in verse number 7, if you would. So then neither is he, verse 7, that planteth anything, neither he that watereth, but God that giveth the increase. We see the laborer is not the one that gives the increase. He's the planter. We see the one that waters, he can't do anything except unless the seed had already been put in the ground. And we see that the planter had to be dependent upon the waterer, and the waterer had to be dependent upon the seed sower. But we understand that if everything had gone haywire, nothing would have had to have happened except that God gave the increase. You remember that God gave a donkey one time in the Old Testament to get his message out. He gave a fleece to Gideon to send a message because he wanted to get what he wanted to give him. He used a rainbow in the sky. He would have used the stones to cry out if people had not done it. And we understand that the laborer is insufficient except what God gets in you. And my friend, I'm trying to get all of us, you know I'm a big believer in everybody in this room. We ought to find somebody this week that we can encourage, somebody this week that we can lift up, somebody this week that we can share the gospel with. But all that we do without the Lord's help will fall flat on our faces because the insufficiency of the laborer is true now, just as it was here. We understand, as the scripture says, he that planteth is nothing, and neither he that watereth, but it's God that giveth the increase. My uncle used to play the mandolin every time he'd come down to our house. Before he got proficient at that, he would listen in. He would what he called sit in when he was a youngster. He would sit in with boys and men that played instruments. And he would sit in and sometimes do nothing, but then as he got to understand a little bit what they do, he'd start playing along a little bit, and the more he sat in, the more he could play, he could contribute, and the more he could contribute, then the more that he would be able more confident as it went on. But we understand that he was around great musicians, and when he was sitting in, his little bit of offerings, his little bit of contribution didn't mean very much. And my friends, I don't want to bust anybody's bubble tonight. But it doesn't matter whether your name, like me, your name's on the church sign or the church information or whatnot, or whether you're a tender, a teacher, a deacon, whatever, or used to be, was going to be, should have been, never was going to be, could have been, would have been, should have been, nobody ever wanted you to be. It doesn't matter what you are. But what the Lord would pick us up and use us, what we do is in vain. The insufficiency of the laborer. And I'm not trying to get you to say that to depress us. I'm trying to get us to see tonight that we need, that needs to drive us to our knees, either literally or figuratively, needs to drive us to our knees to whatever we do for the Lord, may we do it not only for the Lord, but in the Lord's power. I see the insufficiency of the laborer, but I see also in verse number 8, I see there's joy and fulfillment in being used. Look at the end of verse number 8. The Bible says, and every man shall receive his own reward according to his own labor. You understand that I'm not dependent on you, nor are you dependent on me to stand before the judgment seat of Christ and stand there with joy and stand there and hear, well done, thou good and faithful servant. I believe that there are many people who had nearly no advantages in life, but when they stand before the Lord at the judgment seat of Christ, they will be thankful for their service for the Lord, but you may have never known them. I believe there are people in this church that when they stand before the Lord, they'll hear, well done, thou good and faithful servant. And, excuse me, they never taught a Sunday school class. They never were a deacon. They never did anything outwardly, but they faithfully did what the Lord led them to do. I see that as the Bible says that everybody will have their own reward, I see there's joy and fulfillment of being used. Now, you may not be used in the way that I'm being used. Not that my way is bigger or better than yours. It's just different. You may not be the pastor. You may be a teacher. You may not be a teacher. You may have all these places. But I understand that regardless of what God leads you to do, there's joy and there's fulfillment in being used. Can I tell you that every different level of service in the church or business, anywhere, people get upset if they don't get noticed. I know that's a shock to some of you. Pastors do it at preachers' meeting. They brag about they're bragging about what's going on at their church until somebody else walks in the room and their church has more attenders than the first one. Children workers, they do it around church after big days. They understand that, wow, what about all the work we did in junior church? It was a great day in the sanctuary, but how about over there in the children's church? We didn't get mentioned. Ushers do it sometimes when they get accidentally embarrassed from the pulpit as the pastor calls out a wrong command. The custodians do it sometimes when they're taken for granted. The staff members do it when they feel neglected. You say, boy, this is a rough group of people. How do you know that all those people get sideways? Because that was me. I've been the pastor. I've been the usher. I've been the children's worker. I've been the custodian. I've been the staff member. And I felt all the ways I just described. That is self-confession. Good for the soul, hard for the reputation. And my friend, I'm just telling you that all of us have a chance, or all of us have a propensity to get ourselves feeling sorry for you know who. But instead of that, I see that there is joy, there is fulfillment in being used of the Lord, as the scripture says, that every man shall receive his own reward. I think sometimes about this auditorium. I was in here late in some of the nights as we were praying, and sometimes with other people, sometimes by myself, just laying around different things. Sometimes you worry about people coming in on you. Not that they've been scared, but think that I'm a weirdo, you know. I think of the joy of being the pastor of an independent Baptist church, being the pastor of a local New Testament church, and I thank God for letting me be that. I see that it's a great opportunity, and I see that you nor anybody else will prevent me from standing before the Lord with joy. If anybody does, it'll be myself. I see the joy and fulfillment, but not only for the pastor, for every one of us. Maybe you teach a class. Maybe you help in a class. Maybe you don't help in a class, but you usher. Maybe you don't usher, but you work in the nursery. Maybe you don't work in the nursery, but you're the attendance taker in your role. You're a Sunday school department leader. You're a helper. You're a worker. You're this. You're that. You don't have any title whatsoever, but every time you see somebody who you don't know, you greet them and you try to encourage them. Maybe you, like me, or maybe you are the person that I'm speaking of tonight, that you hold no titles, and as far as I know, you hold no position, but every time you see me, you encourage me, because there's several people in this room right here, and speaking of one man in particular, he says, I thank God for you. You're doing a great job. And whether I am or whether he's just trying to make me feel good, he is encouraging me. My friend, there's ministry all over this place. Let no one say that we don't have anything to do at Buffalo Ridge Baptist Church. If you mean that the office of pastor is not open, well, it isn't right now. I'm hoping the deacons keep it that way. But for now, that office is not open. If you're meaning that, oh, there's not a position that has a title, that perhaps, but let it never be said that there's nothing to do. Because I've told you on multiple occasions, if you'd take me and my family and put me on your prayer list, and you say, I don't have a position, but I've got a position I've made for myself, I'm going to be the prayer for you. I said, I'll take you. You're hired. I understand that there's joy and there's fulfillment in being used of God. And we see this as it mentions in verse number 8 that everyone would receive his own reward. But let me get to the gist of the message as I close it out. In point number 3, I see that not only is it the insufficiency of the laborer, lest any of us get too highfalutin for ourselves, there's a joy and there's a reward for being used of God. But verse number 9, I want to show you this. Collaboration is needed, and I'll explain what I mean. Verse number 9, for we are laborers together with God. I know the most important aspect of that phrase is with God. But it also is that we, plural, are laborers together And certainly we're with God, but we start that off. And I see in verse number 9 that we being laborers together with God, we are God's husbandry, meaning we're God's garden, we're his display piece there. But we being laborers together, I bring to you that third point, that collaboration is needed. Let me explain the difference. Most of you maybe know, but the difference between cooperation and collaboration. Cooperation just says we're working together on something. We're cooperating. Cooperating would say like this: I won't get in your way. You don't get in my way. I'll let you reach your goal. You let me reach my goal. We may intersect a little bit, but I won't bother you. You don't bother me. That's cooperation. But collaboration goes a step further than that. Collaboration says, I'll do what I can as I'm reaching my goal, but I'll do what I can to help you reach your goal. We will collaborate, or we will co-labor. That's the way good businesses work together. When one person watches out for another, and if he can do something in his daily schedule to help somebody else get their job accomplished, then they work together. You've seen it in businesses. Many people will sabotage somebody else just because it's within their power. They will do something that will make it more difficult for someone else, and they certainly would never help someone. But I'm here to announce, unfortunately, that not only does it happen in business, but it also happens in churches. We get territorial. We get to a place where we want to, we do what we do. We served at Franklin Road Baptist Church, and there, we have a large, had a large, they have a large Christian school and a large Sunday school. And so the Sunday school teachers use the same rooms as the Christian school teachers, and the Christian school teachers use it 5 days a week. The Sunday school teachers use it for 1 hour, and then the B Sunday school teachers use it for the other hour. And then sometimes they'd get used for the later than that for the evening classes. And so we just multi-use rooms a lot. And you never believe that Christians would fuss. But some of those Middle Tennessee people are like that. Aren't you glad you live over here where nobody fusses? Yeah, I know. You think, good thing I live over here. But collaboration means that we co-labor together, because what their work is important, and so is mine. And my work is not more important or less important than theirs. It's just different than theirs. And so I'm going to work in my labor spot so that their labor spot won't be bothered as well, and we'll go up together. It's a privilege to get to be God's husbandry. It's a privilege to work with each other in God's kingdom. It's a great to be a teacher, a helper, a worker, a cleaner, a worker, whatever it is. It's great to be all of those things. And collaboration is what is needed, because the scripture says we are laborers together. And I hope that whatever position you hold at Buffalo Ridge Baptist Church, or you hold no official position, I hope that you realize that we can all labor together for what I said this morning, the cross of Christ. There's several things in this auditorium that I love, and maybe as time goes on, I'll share some of those with you. But my favorite, of course, is the cross that hangs behind me. Because I want it to be a continual reminder that we are all laboring to lift up the Lord Jesus Christ. Because he said, and I, if I be lifted up, will draw all men unto me. And if we're doing anything that drives people from that, then we are not co-laboring, we are hindering the work of the Lord. So co-laboring is needed. Curtis Hudson was the editor of The Sword of the Lord for many years until he died of cancer in 1995 or 6. He used to tell a story about, he was a hunter too, he used to tell a story about some hounds. He said, those hounds will be in the back of that dog box in the back of that truck while we're going out to get ready to hunt. He said, those dogs will be nipping and barking and getting at each other and biting one another, fussing and fuming in there in those boxes. But he said, I always notice something. When you let that tailgate down and you open up that dog box on the back of there, and you get them on the hunt of their desired prey, you know, they get them on the desired job of what they're supposed to be doing, then those dogs don't have time to nip and bite at one another. Now they've got another agenda. They're after foxes, or they're after a coon, or whatever they're after. They've got a job. And now all of a sudden they don't have time to bite and devour one another. The scriptures uses that phrase, talking about people that bite and devour one another. Can I tell you why the average church has so much dissension in it? We don't have a unified goal. We're not trying to reach anybody. We're not trying to get the gospel out to anyone. We're too concerned about what my needs are. And we're too concerned about, well, I didn't take that very well. We're too concerned about this, that, or the other. We're too concerned about what I want. And I want all of us to be too concerned about souls to worry about snapping at one another. We've got bigger fish to fry, as the saying goes. And may we work together for the glory of God. I think about it like this. I picture it different times. If you would think about a young person, won't take time to do it here, but a young person who's 13, 12, 14, somewhere around that age. If we had him on the platform here and we realized that the devil and all of his imps are trying to get that young person, and you as a parent are trying to keep all of the negative away from that son or that daughter and trying to let them grow up in a way of not being claimed by the devil. You're trying to fight them off. You tell me this, do you want a little help with that or not? Do you want a teacher at school that will also try to help them? Do you want a teacher in Sunday school? Do you want a pastor? Do you want a youth director? Do you want somebody else? It'd be nice to be able to circle that child. Somebody else to pray, somebody else to stay up late at night when they had a difficulty, someone else to stop by the hospital when a surgery came, somebody else that would pat him on the back when he's coming down the hall and say, man, I saw you sing that special, it was a great job. Somebody else to encourage, somebody else to help, and somebody else to be there. I'm trying to tell us that we're better off when we co-labor together. And the Lord says in his word that we are laborers together. How about this? What's our job? You say, well, as a church, what's our job? Well, I guess we're supposed to open up the doors and let people come in. Well, they could do that at a lot of different entities. What's our job? Well, I guess we're supposed to put a proper preacher up there in front of everybody. Well, they could do that with lots of churches. Our job is to reach this area and the world with the gospel. We have co-labored together with many missionaries. As we get the missionary letters back up on the board here in the next couple of weeks, or in the wall down there, we are co-laboring together with those ones as they go where we won't. But if we've got the objective to reach this community, do you want to attack it by yourself or do you want some help? I want some help. And I believe you want some help as well. That means that all of us are going out as little missionaries in all of our little nooks and crannies of this community, in our jobs, in our neighborhoods. May we co-labor together to get the gospel out. And may we never forget what our purpose here is. Not to build beautiful buildings, not to set in ease, but instead to teach people to love the Lord their God by introducing them to Christ and show them the gospel. Laborers together. Father, bless us now is our prayer. I pray, dear Lord, that we would see tonight that we can, Lord, we can stand up for you. You'll empower us even if nobody helps us. But it's certainly a lot more effective and efficient if we're laborers together. And dear Lord, but what you come and get involved in the endeavor, then Lord, we're wasting our time. So I pray that not only you would come and get involved in the endeavor, but then we could labor together. Lord, I pray it like this, that you would help us get our feelings off of our sleeves sometimes. Lord, I've offended people since I've come here. Lord, I hope not intentionally, but I have. And Lord, if I let my feelings be on my sleeve, people have offended me. But Lord, I pray that we could be above all of those things and realize that we are laborers together to get this job accomplished before it's eternally too late. Thank you, Lord, for the chance to gather together again tonight with your people. We bless your name, dear Lord. Well, thank you for what you've done. Our heads are bowed, our eyes are closed. Here's the invitation. If you're here tonight and you've been burdened about this laboring together, Oh, maybe you're one of the ones that's territorial. Maybe you're the ones that don't like people messing with your stuff. Maybe you're one of the ones that get sideways about this, that, and the other. Might as well just confess it to the Lord. He already knows it anyway. Maybe you're one of the ones that thinks you're the Lone Ranger. You don't need anybody's help, but you found out tonight that God would use you, and He'd use you for a greater amount of work getting done if you'd co-labor with somebody else. My friend, let us be laborers together. And maybe if you're here tonight and you're not saved, I didn't preach on that, but you're here tonight not saved, when we stand in just a moment, if you would do us the great honor to just slip down to the front here, get to the nearest aisle, and then come right at the front, somebody would be standing with a Bible and love to show you how you'd be saved. Maybe there's some other spiritual need you have. You come. Would you stand together? Bless us, Father, we pray. As our ladies play, would you come? As they play through, if God's speaking to your heart, would you come? You say, isn't that message contradictory to what you did today when you honored Preacher Lashley? I don't think in the least. We give honor to whom honor is due, but realizing that all the men that we look up to are men. The best of men are men at best. But people like Preacher Lashley, great men, have a great God. That's what made them great men. That's what makes them great men. That's worthy to be honored. Would you come tonight? They play one more verse. If God's speaking to your heart, this altar's open for you. Father, thank you for this time to be in your house. Thank you for this wonderful dedication day. Thank you for a great man, Preacher Lashley, that we got to honor today. And thank you for this house that we got to worship you in. Bless, we pray in Jesus' name as we go throughout our week. Amen. Well, again, thank you for being in church tonight. Thank you for your patience as we continue to work through a few things today, and we'll continue to as we move forward to our open house Sunday. I want you to take Daniel's admonitions very seriously get somebody here for that open house Sunday. I'd like for every one of our church family to meet my pastor, and I'd like for you to hear the message that God will lay on his heart as well. And but we want to have a wonderful, wonderful day. Well, they should be ready for us out back, and God bless you. Oh, if you're a deacon, I'd like for you to gather up here around the altar. How many think the deacons ought to be at the altar once in a while? So, but that's not the purpose. We're going to get a picture if we can. We'll get a picture up here in front of the pulpit. And so deacons, if you just congregate right here, we'll let everybody else get those nutty bars, and then we'll go join them in a little bit. God bless you. Thank you for being in church. You're dismissed.